A pair of songs written by our next guest, Peter Yarrow, and these have not been the easiest of times for him. Part of the legendary folk group Peter, Paul, and Mary, of course, with the passing of him, one of his longtime partners, Mary Travers, just a few weeks ago. In fact, Peter began singing with Mary in December of 1960, Noel Paul Stuckey joining them shortly thereafter. The trio became unbelievably popular in a short time, making songs like Blowin' in the Wind, If I Had a Hammer, and Where Have All the Flowers Gone, enduring anthems of the 1960s protest movement. Co-author, as we said, of the song phenomenon Puff the Magic Dragon, Peter himself has been a lifelong activist on everything from the anti-nuke movement to the anti-bullying education campaigns. And now he has a burgeoning career as the author of a series of unique children's books, including the recently released Day Is Done, based on one of his original songs, and Volume 3 of the Peter Yarrow songbook called Let's Sing Together. Well, Peter Yarrow will be performing some of those songs and signing books this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. at Barnes & Noble in the Arden Fair Mall in Sacramento. Today he joins us via phone from his book tour in Washington, D.C. And a very special welcome to KVMR, Mr. Peter Yarrow.
Well, it's good to talk to you, my friend, but it's also an extremely unusual and difficult time because even in the midst of doing this new, very exciting work, the reality is that we lost Mary Travers just almost 2 weeks ago, and the importance and the meaning of the almost 50 years that we shared as it relates to continuing with this work and the music, such as sharing the songs in Let's Sing Together, which are, you know, so much a part of what we did together, it becomes heightened with an extraordinary outpouring of love and affection and regard for Mary, as well as gratitude. And that's true on my part. It's been a real roller coaster, as I guess most people would expect, because, you know, I guess in certain ways, there's when someone passes at first, you know, there are the predictable stages of denial, and then you get angry, and then you finally come to terms with it. But it was when we actually did bury her that it became real. And now when I was doing a presentation at the bookstore yesterday, just as I've continued to do, there were moments of great emotion, and I will be doing that same kind of presentation when I come to you, and that will be the same. Certain songs will have a great resonance with people's past history with the group and with Peter, Paul, and Mary. So before going on to other things, I just wanted to share that with you, or that I'm talking about one thing and feeling another, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm looking at actually an email I got from a close friend of mine from the Midwest who grew up in a Republican household, as it were, and he says that Peter, Paul, and Mary were certainly one of the groups that had the most influence on me, harmonies and humor, but also, of course, the social message that at that time was totally new to me. I remember our hootenannies in junior high, plus they were maybe the first to introduce me to Dylan's songs, Pete Seeger's songs. Their album with If I Had a Hammer and 500 Miles, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, was probably the second album we ever owned after West Side Story, and actually I still frequently play it and know all the songs by heart. I think you were maybe some of the first subversives for people like the gentleman that I'm reading his email, that you were able to bring a message and it just happened to get into top 40 radio.
Well, you know, it's the that just happened is really quite something important to think about and to discuss, because I think it did happen, but it was a cumulative effect of the world's being open to a certain kind of sensibility that really changed people's focus about what life was all about and what it should be about. And in the world of art today, we are in an era that is, I would say, in many ways, as myopic and means myopic is a polite way, meaning you can't really see things clearly. It's kind of a euphemism for ignorance, I live in a time that is riddled with mean-spiritedness for the sake of mean-spiritedness, almost as a sport that's part of the public entertainment in the world, and in particularly in the United States, we are the progenitors of that. We make a lot of those reality-based shows that are shame-based, and they are emulated all over the world, and this is pernicious, because what we need is to heal our hearts so that we can be embracing of one another, so that we can be fulfilled as human beings and feel the joys of having a generosity of spirit. But instead, there's kind of a perverse delight in our culture in defeating an opponent, in crushing and humiliating another person. Kids have it in schools. That's why I've been working so long for the past decade on the educational efforts of this organization called Operation Respect, that really relies on music in many ways to build a sense of community. And when you talk about somebody who is a Republican, and it doesn't matter, there are wonderful people from all political stripes who have a good intention, and whose intention is to move forward, and not just about the results, but an intention about the way of life, to bring the results that you want to the world. If you feel that you want the same kinds of things that another person wants, but you see another route, and in getting there, you're not willing to trample on the things that you believe in, then you're carrying on the spirit of that very thing that energized America in the 1960s and that propelled Peter, Paul, and Mary, and literally kept us together for almost 50 years.
I guess you could say that at this point, that back then you sort of infiltrated, as we said, top 40 radio and television, and were able to get your message that way. Now it's interesting that you've chosen children's books to get your message out, and I think as I look at the name of the book, of the Peter Yarrow songbook, Let's Sing Together, that also says something that maybe there aren't that many musical bullies, which I know is one of the things that you've been very active in, the anti-bullying movement.
Yeah, but that's a part of... See, bullying is just a symptom of a dysfunctional kind of anger and antipathy. And the antidote to that is, through many, many devices and many tools and many interventions and many strategies, creating an environment in which people are treating each other with respect. Respect is a profoundly important term for us to think about. And you're quite right. This is a... This music, what used to be, it dominated. It didn't infiltrate. Folk music dominated. You're to be excused for not knowing historically that this is. Peter, Paul, and Mary for 3 years had every week three albums in the top 20, two of which were in the top 10 for 3 years. But prior to... But maybe it was 2.5. Okay, maybe that's my stat.
We won't quibble.
But the point is, They'd never been seen before. These things, they weren't a fad. They were hanging in there. And when the tide shifted, and it went into the music of the Beatles and rock and roll took over, folk music as the dominant form, certainly receded and became just another music. But in the world of music today that has been dominated by the same forces that are propelling the mean-spiritedness of television, because it's all about the bucks and feeding something to people that becomes, it's like eating bad food. It really is. It's a very parallel thing. It will make you feel full, but it will not do what is needed for you on feeding your soul and your heart. And that bad food, that fast food, bad food that exists. And there is some good fast food, by the way, but a lot of it is bad food, bad in the sense that it's not healthy for you. It isn't healthy for your body. It's not healthy for your head. It leads to obesity. It leads to heart disease. It leads to instability, emotional instability, and it's very bad stuff. Well, since the record business became all about money, and record companies became dinosaurs, and they are to a certain degree, not comprehensively so, but to a large degree, it is the case that then we have to look for other vehicles to get the connections that make sense to each other that lift our spirits. And these books combine music. They're children's books, all of them. That doesn't mean adults don't appreciate them. Adults appreciate beautiful illustration made that for children. And the first one was Puff, and that propelled me on the road. And it sold, at this point, I think about 850,000 copies. And if you sell anything close to 1 million copies of anything in this world, you cease to be whatever you were before. You're no longer an attorney or a flight attendant or a manufacturer of small parts for radios. You're a rock star, because that's the culture. So now this folk singer has become a rock star. And it's funny and it's odd, but that platform has given me the opportunity to launch this series of books called The Peter Yarrow Songbook, of which I'm extremely proud. And these books are have 12 songs in them. And they 12 songs and 12 illustrations. 12 big illustrations plus the double page and the lyrics on the pages and then the chords and commentary and the record, the CD with it. You see, I still say record is recorded by me and my daughter. And this is the third book with 12 songs. The first one is called Favorite Folk Songs. The second one is called Sleepy Time Songs. And the third is Songs to Sing Together. And there will be a fourth one, Songs for Little Folk. And that's just, earliest songs for kids that are just 2, 3, and 4 years old that are just really, really sweet. But all these songs are free to any educator, and that was my deal with the publishing company. Any educator can, who's either a school counselor or a teacher or administrator or a social worker or an educational advocate among parents, you can download these songs for free at the Operation Respect website, which is operationrespect.org, one word, Operation Respect. And these songs can be added to the Don't Laugh at Me program as part of creating that spirit in the schools. So not only can you do it, you know, you can go and buy the book with the CD, but if you want just the music and you're using it for educational purposes, you can get it for free, and that makes me very proud. So when we think about the resuscitation or the revitalization or the support of or the energizing of the effort to make sure that those songs are part of the lives of kids, my suspicion is that this vehicle, which is books with CDs, is going to be a very important vehicle over the next few years of going to a field where something very special is given to the audience. And in addition to doing these particular books, I now have my own imprint, Peter Yarrow Books, and Tom Paxton's The Marvelous Toy. You know, when I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was, with many colors bright. And the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. It went zip when it moved, and when it stopped, and whirr when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. Well, Peter Paul and Mary recorded this on Peter Paul and Mommy in 1968-69, and it's become one of the best-loved songs, and it's now a wonderful illustrated book, and that's coming out, too, and so is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, sung by Judy Collins, which is the most beautiful rendition. And I believe that all of these books, my book Day Is Done, that just came out, which it says, and if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. Do you have a copy of that book with you, by the way?
I certainly do. And in fact, I took it home last night and I read it. I got through the whole thing. That is actually wonderful.
The insinuation of it is so beautiful. The intent by the editor, Francis Gilbert, that instead of being a cerebral book about the difficulties of the world and the necessity for reassuring each other that we are together, etc., it's all very lightly implied by the images of animals where the relationship is so palpable between the father and the son of the animals, and then in the end you see that there's a boy who is I'm on the phone doing an interview, so there's a boy who in bed, and the father is singing the song, and there all the animals that you've seen in the forest are there now in the bedroom as stuffed toys. And it's a beautiful book, and I'm so proud of it, and it's Caldecott winning extraordinary illustrator has just done an off the scale job of it. And right at the point at which we're sharing all this about Mary, to sing this song, as I will when I'm out there, with the audience, which is very intimate, you know, but it's not Carnegie Hall, it's not a March on Washington. That's really the way folk music was shared, and that's a great gift to me. So when I come out there, I'm continuing to walk the walk. Happily, I've got, as you observe, a vehicle for sharing these things in a very meaningful way. But the loss of Mary is great. We're going to have, by the way, a memorial service for her that I'm working on, you know, calling the people to come. Judy Collins will be there, and Tom Paxton will be there, and Pete Seeger will be there. And I've been speaking to a variety of people who will be talking, and I'm telling you, it's we're going to do a lot of songs. Sorry, we're going to be doing a lot of songs that Neri made really famous, but by other people singing. For instance, I think Judy Collins may sing 500 Miles. Richie Havens hopefully will sing Leaving on a Jet Plane. Pete Seeger. And it's not that Peter Paul and Mary didn't sing them, but when you hear Mary's taking the lead in a song, it's like an arrow to the heart, and it's quite, quite beautiful. So it's all meshed into one inside me. It's not as if I'm going out and doing these appearances and they're unconnected to Peter Paul and Mary, or they're unconnected to what we stood for. This nation, besides having to change its policies, which it's hopefully going to do with a more equitable health insurance and health care for all, so that everybody can have it and it's affordable. 40% of America is already covered by single payer. So 40% of America already has, quote, socialistic health care. And that's through Medicaid and Medicare and the various kinds of medical programs that are out there, and so the insurance company, and generally those are the ones that treat very costly health problems. The insurance industry is insuring the other 60% and makes a fortune, but when you get really old, who takes care of it? Socialistic. But it's not social, it's just human beings. There's no label on it. And what we've got to have is, we've got to have equity. We've got to restore the heart of this country. This country has been bruised by people who are after, to a large degree, the pursuit of money. They are engaged in the pursuit of money. They are not about equity and fairness and sharing and togetherness. And when your friend, who started out, you know, hearing these things, he said he was influenced by it, and that's very touching. I don't care what political stripe you have. Drop the labels. Let's be together, find common ground, and build on it so we're less fragmented in each other's lives. So now you've been talking to me, and I'm pouring out all this because my heart is so filled with what it is that it means for me to lose Mary. There will be no more Peter, Paul, and Mary concerts. And when I'm standing there and singing a song like The Last Thing on My Mind, and it's devastating to me last night when I was singing it, because I know I will never again in person stand there with Mary singing that song, filling my heart and everybody else's with that extraordinary sense of direct, heartfelt commitment to sharing her whole being. She was never strategic. You never said, oh, I hear how she's using her technique to make this voice so beautiful. This was just raw heart, and that's what Mary was.
We're speaking with Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary, and also a children's author these days, has his own imprint. And you mentioning Mary, I was reading she thought perhaps that the greatest event that she was ever at was the March on Washington when Martin Luther King spoke.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that like for you and for what you know for her?
Well, we've talked about it so many times and reflected on it, because that was the march that started us on the journey that saw the end of that first arc in the election of Barack Obama. You've got to remember, to have a march like that, a bunch of people standing there singing together, holding hands, whatever, is neither here nor there. What's important is that here was a march with 250,000 people in our nation's capital, most of whom were people of color. And you have to remember that at that time, our nation's capital was a highly segregated city, where if you wanted to go to use a water fountain, there was a water fountain for colored and a water fountain for whites. And if you wanted to use a bathroom, there were separate toilets. If you wanted to, or toilet facilities in some cases, if you wanted to bring kids to visit our nation's capital as a class, the black kids never could come because there were no hotels that would accept integrated parties of groups of kids, where Marian Anderson, an opera singer, black metropolitan opera singer, could not sing at Constitution Hall. Now, I was one of 250,000, and by the way, there was a lynching once every 3 days in our country. I was one of 250,000 people who stood there. It's as if you're standing there with a cloud of this horrible legacy of hate and racism, pierced by the light that comes up for these people, not of anger about that cloud, but of a love that just moves it away with a hope and a promise. Because the civil rights movement not only accomplished the objective of changing the law, but it changed the intentionality of a country about what they had in their hearts about blacks and whites. And that was the genius of America, that indeed you can see that there are black and white or mixed race couples everywhere now, on television, in the streets. As much as we have been injured in this last era, last decade or so, by in terms of these of many things that we hold dear, there's great things that have happened here, and we as patriots, and I am one of them, and Mary is one of them, and so is Noel, must celebrate the genius of America even as we criticize our failures. What we are guilty of now is, to a large degree, ignorance, stupidity, myopia, and avarice and greed, and self-centeredness. But we are not a country that is inherently unable to shake itself from the grasp of racism in terms of their general public, to a large degree that has shifted so dramatically we can only be proud of it. The racism still exists profoundly in the criminal justice system, for instance. It's horrible, it's institutionalized, but the person in the street, except for some diehard, you know, skinhead and other kind of perspectives, look what we have done as a country. Let us celebrate that, even as we decry what has not been done. Now, how did that feel, to see that we had the courage to get together, that group of people, and say, we will not rest. We will never abandon this commitment. And indeed, those people there never did. And that was never done with animosity. It was never done with hatred. Well, that was not, let me finish, that was never done, it was done with a sense of inspiration and love. And what did we learn from that more than anything? We learned that if we want to get anywhere, we cannot do it by targeting somebody we don't like and trying to destroy them. That doesn't do anything. That all that does is sully our hearts more. We will not feed off of hate, or we will not get anywhere. This targeting of Van Jones, and you know, who was a great organizer, and who was critical of the United States in certain ways, at a certain time when the United States was certainly deserving of such criticism. This kind of maliciousness from the Sean Hannitys of the world, Glenn Beck's, we have to counter that, and we cannot meet it with hatred and it's mirror image. That's not how the civil rights movement. We were taught by the civil rights movement how to prevail. We do not prevail through return of hatred and fury. We prevail with the spirit that mobilized them. That's how we prevailed in the peace movements, in the anti-war movements, in the women's movement. I'm not saying every value is pure all the time. I'm saying overwhelmingly, the tone of those things was not nihilistic. And I am saying that what we learned that day, and we felt it, but we only learned later what it really meant. What we learned that day was that ordinary people, when they stand together in love and commitment, can change the course of history. And did it. That was the single most revealing moment, not necessarily in terms of logic, but in terms of a kind of a spiritual center of understanding that has fed me and fed Mary and Noel for all these years. And now that Mary is gone, it should be no less strong. The legacy continues in me and in Noel and in other people in their own way, but it's like the song, you know, I dreamt I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. Said I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he. Mary, and the spirit that she carries, particularly because she, you know, you have not seen one article across this country with the incredible outpouring that was malicious, that was gossipy, that was everything was respectful. Because even people that disagreed with us respected that we did our homework, that we spoke the truth as we saw it, and we never reached out to injure. We reached out to heal. And that's who Mary was. And where did we learn that? We learned it from Martin Luther King, from that march, and that day, that moment, was the crystallizing moment for the three of us.
Well, Peter Yarrow, we appreciate your comments and hearing your philosophy so much. I also want to give you my deepest sympathies on the loss of Mary.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity to express myself so openly. I've found that there's kind of a wellspring of feeling within me that now is grateful for the opportunity to speak in this kind of way, because it's a cathartic and healing for me. So thank you, and I look forward to seeing you. There's much to be joyous about and much to be grateful for. And even in the process of mourning, I'm in touch with all the dimensions of this, and find myself to be the luckiest guy I could possibly be. So go well, my brother, and I look forward to seeing you when I'm out in your neck of the woods.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on KVMR, Peter Yarrow.
Thank you, my brother. Take care. Bye.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy, a wonder to behold. many colors bright, and the moon.